Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey, it's Mike. Today's show is brought to you by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote, just visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748 and find out how much you could be saving on life insurance. Again, that's 866-347-5748 or smartterm.com.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, everybody. Let me tell you, this is panic. Panic in O'Mara land. Someone has lost a camera, and it might be me.
No.
And no one's really, everybody's dancing around it. But I say, and Oscar's like borderline lecturing all of us. But the fact
there is a
well, he's gentle because I'm involved in it. And I think
it's not gentle in this
hit
room.
Hit me over
Mike.
The head on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. But the fact is, we've lost a camera. We have lost an expensive piece of equipment somewhere between Fort Myers and Maine and back to D.C. We have lost a friggin' camera.
Can you say, Mike, can you say with 100%, 100% certainty that the camera is somewhere on the eastern seaboard?
I think it is.
Okay, good.
Unless it's been sold by a thief. I think it is. I do believe it is.
And does Western South Florida count as the Eastern Seaboard?
I think you can call Western South. For the purposes of this argument, you can call Western South Florida the East Coast of the United States.
Okay, good. I have a gut that the camera is actually in your home somewhere.
You do?
I have a strong gut. Because you had guests come over. You probably tidied up. Maybe Carla did. It could be in a drawer. Or a cabinet somewhere.
Can you bring his send up to me a little bit?
Yeah, I can barely hear myself.
You can.
I can't even turn him up, please.
You bet.
I have a gut. I have a gut that's what's happening.
There you go.
Yeah. I kind of do, too.
Well, of course you do, because that's what you two do to me.
Well, no.
So when it's not here and it's somewhere else, I'll expect you to eat the sandwich.
I will apologize. And yeah. I absolutely will.
Yeah, I would too.
But the thing that I'm thinking is that if it's not there, perhaps it is in the possession of someone who has been to the Florida house and is Jimmy Cerito about to launch a podcast. That's all I want to know. Is if Jimmy has the camera.
I have to tell you something. Bringing equipment and stuff for my personal use, 1,700 miles is I am not going to sit here and say categorically that there is no way in hell that it might be in my possession somehow.
But it's a daunting task.
I remember looking at it because I looked at it every day, and it was on top of a file cabinet here in the studio, and I looked at it every single day, and then I don't know. It came up to Maine, but we all don't have any memory.
Mike, when you brought all your stuff in from
Maine,
your vehicle from Florida.
Right.
Yes.
When you dropped it off, you're here for a week and left. I never saw the camera, and I unpacked all your gear to set
you
up here.
Well, talk to Pony, because Pony says he handed it to me before I went up to Maine. So, Pony, you're on the floor. You have the floor now.
That's all.
Pony boy.
It's been a while.
It's pony time. Get up.
Tony.
Yeah.
Pony boy.
Smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death.
Okay, thank you.
And now here's Matt Bloom.
Yeah, we could have found the camera.
I don't even remember what I asked him about.
You asked him.
His recollection.
Oh, well, if you want my recollection, it was that I handed it to you right before you went to Maine.
So you did see the camera here.
Yep.
Why would you hand the camera to him?
Good question.
Because it was going to be going back to Florida eventually.
Mm, interesting.
How had it made it into the studio? I didn't see it.
And I unpacked his gear.
Because I'm not
going to
doubt that I brought it from Florida
you
to D.C.
Because you know what?
I think that's a very distinct possibility.
Especially because one of the worst things you can do
is show up.
Yeah,
thank you.
God bless you. Is that if you show up.
The Lord our Savior bless you.
Go in peace. In health.
Praise be Oscar and Jesus Christ.
So kind.
The thing is, the last thing you want to do is show up in a remote location and not have every piece of equipment you need. So you might have erred on the side of safety and brought it. That could have happened.
I don't know.
I didn't see it, though.
But I never saw it. I don't recall ever seeing
it. Gordon and I unpacked everything you brought, because this is what Mike did. He came in on the weekend, left everything in the conference room, and then we walked in Monday morning and said, oh, we got to set this up.
It's here.
So we set it up. Never saw that camera.
I actually came in early on. I didn't come in and leave it out there on the weekend, Oscar. That's a misstatement. I
Bill O'Reilly?
I came by.
He didn't do that.
I came by early Monday morning.
Oh, that's right.
I did not leave it all weekend. I would not have left equipment out
there.
It's
a secure building.
Early.
It doesn't matter. I just know that it was here when all I got here.
It
and
was
then
here because I got there because I got to the studio earlier than you.
Well,
did.
You didn't unpack it. And
I know. I didn't unpack it because we're not going to unpack it. We're going to use it for Maine. The replay.
Yeah, we unpacked everything. Yeah.
You
so
too,
I
boys.
Saw the stuff, and I said, you know what? We can't wait till he gets here. Let's unpack everything and set it up. Because remember, we thought you had lost the...
Oscar sold it.
We thought you had lost the...
Traded it for a drone?
The sound effects machine. Not the sound effects, but the voice...
changer.
The voice changer
The voice
machine,
processor.
The voice processor. And then we found it in another bag at the end of the week. Because you thought you had forgot it.
Forgotten
Do you remember
it.
That?
Forgotten the voice processor? Is this the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Are we talking to Mike now, or are we actually talking to the voice processing machine?
You're actually talking to the machine.
All right, and, hey, machine.
I remember that you couldn't find me, and I
Where
said,
were
God,
you?
What a bunch of dumbasses.
You should have said
total
something.
Dumbasses. Really, really ridiculous.
I mean, God knows you do 1,000 voices. You should have said something.
You see what I just did? I took the reverb off my voice. I came out of the machine to talk to you.
It's funny, right?
Hey, Pony.
Yes, sir.
Where the hell's the machine?
Hey, have you looked,
Pony,
around, have you
your
looked around your studio, or did you just do a visual, hey, it's not here?
I did a very cursory look
why
around
are you asking,
the studio.
Why are you asking the machine? That would be a question for Mike.
Because he's an ass and he still doesn't want to let go of it. He doesn't want to commit to the bit. That's what he doesn't want to
hey,
do.
Hey, could you ask?
Yeah, Purple Machine, here's a question.
Your Mike's wonderful wife, if she could come in and look through the
She's
cabinets.
Not here, Oscar. I know in your world, she's sitting there on the couch right now eating chocolates, but that's not true.
What, she's getting her hair done?
No, she's not getting her hair done. She's actually working down at the storage area today.
She got a job at the storage area?
No, she's not getting a job in the store.
Handing out leaflets?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wednesday, August 20th, and Oscar Santana trying to piss off the entire O'Mara family today.
Hey,
and,
Purple Machine.
Hi, Rob.
You've been here the whole time.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Been here the whole time. Hi. Hi. Welcome to Max 107.57 in San Diego. I'm Jack Diamond.
Hey, Purple Machine. Before
yes,
Carlo.
Congratulations, Jack, on getting the gig in San Diego. And wow.
Before Carlo went down to the storage area, did she get the wallet?
My wallet? Is that what you're
No,
talking
no, you
about?
Don't have a wallet. You're a Purple Machine. I'm talking about Mike O'Mara's wallet.
She needs
Mike
O'Mara's
wallet. You know, I don't have it in my possession, but then again, I'm getting very forgetful in my old age. So,
How old
you know,
are you?
To be honest, what's that?
How old are you, Machine?
The Machine?
Yeah.
I'm about 15.
Wow.
No, I'm about I'm four. Probably four or five
in
years
In human
old.
Years, that's like 70.
Mm. I don't know. I know that I lived in the Fairfax City Guitar Center for probably about 8 months before Mike adopted me.
I bet you would rather, instead of being in Florida, wouldn't you like to be in San Diego with that sweet gig?
Oh, man. Tijuana. Yeah. Hey, congratulations. Hey, he's on the radio. I'm not. S-A-D.
Bye-bye, Machine.
Take care. Bye now. Are you sending me away? Are you tired of talking to me?
Well, I thought you were done. You kind
of
indicated
the conversation
was over.
You're getting into that habit again of ending my bits a little early.
Hey,
you know,
Machine.
Either playing your music or doing that. Yeah?
Do you mind looking to your right and seeing if there are any cabinets? I seem to remember not file cabinets.
Let me look inside here.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking inside where the modem is. No, that was just a shot in the dark.
How does
the
machine
dark.
Do it? Does he have opposable thumbs?
Yeah, I do. I have hands.
Because I worked with the machine for years, and it really was just like a purple box.
We'd always have to prop
him
up.
Look what I found.
Pliers.
Another machine.
Yeah. Yes, perhaps the simplest of all machines. Isn't that just like a first-class lever?
Hey, let me ask you something. Have you noticed Mike's new haircut? Have you checked that out?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Let me have him take his headphones off.
Yeah, I can't tell what the headphones. Oh, they're nice and tight.
How do you like that?
Yeah, high and tight.
High and tight. Like the kid in play.
House Party 3.
Yeah,
I see. Beautiful. Trendy. Hip.
1991 called. They said they want your haircut back.
No, it's a good haircut, Machine.
I gotta go. Bye.
All right, bye. Bye. That was quick.
Jeez, you guys like the haircut? Seriously,
he burped and rolled.
It does look good.
The haircut is.
It does look great.
More modern. It requires me to.
Modern?
Did you buy a new car?
It's modern. It's modern because the lady said, with my cowlicks and my hair going in 20 different directions, that this slicking it back thing that I've been doing does not work any longer.
We've been telling you that for months.
I wash it and I dry it, and now I just mess it up. That's what I do.
Does the machine like it?
So she buzzed it on the sides.
Yeah.
So
that's my, you know what, Mike?
That's my new hip look.
You have a little more gray on the sides than I'm accustomed to seeing, and it actually marries to the beard well. You're starting to really, the whole look is coming together.
Well, the whole thing is, there is one side. Okay, this side, wait, wrong side. This side of my hair, this side of my head is much more gray than this side. You notice that? Look, see?
Now, do you think that is...
Not white.
Genetic or because
white?
You just had a bad
non-white.
Color?
Non-white.
Was it a bad colorist?
No.
No, I've never colored the hair on the top of my head. I used to color my beard with Just for Men, but I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And now it's like Santa Claus.
Isn't the whiter side the side that you get approached for the wallet on a daily basis?
You know what?
So that's where the worry is?
I will
is?
Tell you. You know what? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Here's the weird thing. This is my good side. This whole side of
you have a good side?
My good, like as far as my body is concerned.
Well, I never thought
my
about
failing
that.
Body, my bad knee, my bad shoulder, my bad back, everything is on my right side, but the gray is on my left side.
Maybe you should do
so
the
what
show.
What does that mean? Huh?
You should do the show in profile.
Okay, you're an ass. Let's just start the show. Okay?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mr. Hadley, do you trust your wife?
Oh, that's funny. You're going to look funnier sucking my d*** with no teeth.
Step aside, Mert. This f***er's having himself an accident.
You don't push him off the roof.
Because if you do trust her, there's no reason you can't keep that $35,000.
$35,000?
All of it.
All of it?
Every penny.
You better start making sense.
If you want to keep all that money, give it to your wife. The IRS allows a one-time only gift to your spouse for up to $60,000.
Oh, s***. Tax-free?
Tax-free. IRS can't touch 1 cent.
You're that smart banker would kill his wife, aren't you? Why should I believe a smart banker like you? So I can end up in here with you?
It's perfectly legal. Go ask the IRS. They'll say the same thing. Actually, I feel stupid telling you this. I'm sure you would have investigated the matter yourself.
Yeah, f***ing A. I don't need no smart wife-killing banker to tell me where the bear in the buckwheat.
But you do need someone to set up the tax-free gift for you. And that'll cost you. A lawyer, for example.
Bunch of bastards.
Right. I suppose I could set it up for you. That would save you some money. If you get the forms, I'll prepare them for you. Nearly free of charge. I'd only ask... 3 beers apiece for each of my co-workers.
Co-workers, get him. That's rich, ain't it?
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Live from the Cappy Fiber Studios and heard worldwide, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are powered by Encore Insurance Services with over 24 million downloads. Heard daily at MikeO'MaraShow.com and exclusively over the air on the mighty 1630 KCJJ in the heart of the heartland. Go Hawks! Rob Spiewak with the KCJJ database.
Hey, lady! It's Susan Lewis of Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Jerry's sister, Susan.
Cruising
wonderful
Susan,
lady.
Yeah.
Susan.
The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily podcast and radio show with the greatest listeners on the planet. Why?
Huh?
Because they get it. Today's show is brought to you by Sleep Number Beds. You know, I talk about my Sleep Number bed constantly, and there's a good reason. I love it.
Love it?
I love it, love it, love it, love it. The dual-layer technology in my Sleep Number bed has significantly reduced my back pain, and my wife and I sleep better than we ever have before. If you say you can't afford a Sleep Number bed, ask yourself this. Can you really afford another lousy night of sleep? Huh? Can you? Huh?
No, no.
Huh? Can
no,
you?
No,
huh?
Nope, nope, nope,
huh?
Nope, nope,
no,
nope,
no,
no,
the answer
no,
is no.
No, 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 no,
the
no,
answer
no.
is no. Please do me a favor and check out the full line of Sleep Number beds with dual air and Sleep IQ technology. When you get one, you'll be like me and wonder how you ever slept without it. This Labor Day, Sleep Number stores have all beds on sale during their biggest sale of the year. Now, my Sleep Number setting is an 80 and my wife's is an 85, and there's only one place in the world to find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology, and that is a Sleep Number store, my friends. Right now, during the biggest sale of the year, all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Labor Day Limited Edition bed. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. That's 800-511-0061. And please tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. I would really appreciate that. Yeah, so, you know, just a little, sometimes with all the different moving parts and with the traveling and,
sure,
and going up to Maine and the 1,700 miles, you know, that's my first time doing it. And I will tell you something, I know I'll end up doing it again. Mm-hmm. I'll have to. But the fact is, figuring out where to put everything and getting it all together, you know, it's a little difficult.
Just a little bit difficult.
You know? A lot of moving parts.
And your first time doing it. I mean, you didn't know what to expect and what you were going to need and how it was going to all fall out.
Most people forget shampoo, toothpaste.
You forgot
a camera. It's not a big deal.
Now, hold on. I think we're assuming now we've taken the narrative into the direction of my fault.
No, and when he said you, I think
the event
he meant
that
everybody.
Camera, then why was he talking about shampoo?
Hey, I use shampoo.
No, he was talking about me is what he was doing.
What he should
have somehow
said
this is going to fall on me.
No, this is going to fall on me.
No, it doesn't fall on anyone, Mike. This is a team effort. We win as a team and we lose as a team.
You know what it is? It's a band of brothers and brothers fight.
That's right.
And I'm ready for all of you.
Oscar, what you should have said is
Duke's up right now.
When one travels, one tends to forget things like shampoo and one tends to forget this. This time, someone forgot the camera.
Yeah.
And they see that's not specific. That's general. Somebody, but it's not you.
I don't remember seeing the camera here.
This is a work in progress. I should say that. And it is a, by the way, and we should all be grateful. Hold on, wait a minute. Let me finish my point.
But I've got a game changing thought.
Jesus Christ. You know, you come to
it's
life like six times during a show. What? Okay, go ahead. What? You're so chomping at the bit to say it. What?
Game changing thought. And this has to do with Pony's time space continuum.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Matthew. Yes. Is it possible you gave him the camera before he went to Florida, but not before he went to Maine? And it went to Florida via Mike when he drove to Florida, when he moved there, and not to Maine, because then everything stays true. He gives you the camera.
Change
it goes
one
down
thing,
there.
Change everything.
And you that explains why you saw it in Florida, and it also would explain why we never saw it in Maine.
All right. I will tell you what I'm going to do. When we are done here today,
see
I am
how the
going
game
do,
changed.
I am going, Rob. I don't, Rob.
You changed
for some,
the game
for some reason. That gives me a little comfort. And if that's the case, then maybe that camera is somewhere here.
Oh, it's right behind you.
And I will
chase us all this,
Mr. O'Mara. This is the police department. The camera is in your house.
Let me tell you something, Santana. Let me tell you what happened today. I came in today. I've been the one that has been facilitating the installation of this camera.
Spearhead.
And I've been saying to your skinny friend across the way every day, "When are we going to do it?" And his answer is always the same: "When would you like to do it?" And you know, and it's so today was well. How many texts or phone calls or emails, Pony, have you sent to me saying, "Let's get that camera installed today"?
None.
Thank you.
The answer is
thank
bagel.
You very much. Mm. Right. So,
Pony,
I said,
is it possible that you gave it to him when he was on his way to Florida and not his way to Maine?
If you mean when he was going to move to Florida, I don't think we even had the camera at that point.
Yeah, but he's come up twice since then, remember?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remember.
No,
he blacks it out.
That's
he
very
blacks
possible.
It out.
Was
right.
the camera
very
at the bottom
possible.
Of a martini?
No. It's not vodka proof.
What I'm going to do, because I know that it has been here at one point,
right.
I will do a thorough inspection of the home. I do not live in a big place. You know that. It's mm-hmm. a small little house. There's not a lot of place for stuff to go, and I will do it. I did a very quickie check right before the show. I will check thoroughly, and then we will check in Manassas, and we will find out. And in the event that camera is missing, the only person that's left to blame is our intern, Mac.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'll have to write a check for it. He'll have to write a check. Hi, Mac. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, you know, sorry you lost that camera.
Sorry.
But anyway.
But it's a valuable lesson, and you'll remember that lesson every time you write a check.
You know what? To be fair, this is the first time this has happened on this scale, hypothetically, even possibly, in the 5 years we've worked together.
And all the crap that we've had to, cables and all the stuff we have, and we go from, you know, from Reno
to
Maine to,
up to now, the only thing that's gone missing is coworkers.
One day they hear you
and
wake
then
up.
Then I say, what is it? Do you think he's in Manassas? I don't know. Did the intern see him?
One day there's a guy doing the news. The next day, Mike's doing what's going on? We got a business manager. He goes away. What's going on? Everything's going crazy. Things are nuts. You know,
that's just silly.
Thank God the listeners don't go away. Hey, thank God this thing for the party. Anyway, so we will get to the bottom of this. I promise. I know that last week on the show I got heavy with you talking about this this whole ISIS situation, and I feel stronger about that than I ever have today, because the journalist that was executed by these Islamic fundamentalists that are out there, these extremists known as ISIS. Yeah, first of all, I hate it when they get a great, cool name like out of a movie.
Al-Qaeda was like, you know what, they sound like bad guys. ISIS.
I don't think I
It sounds like something out of a movie, doesn't
you're like,
it? It sounds like a big evil empire out of a movie.
It's like the G.I. Joes are fighting.
I don't know. I don't think it's that cool. I associate it with some sort of Greek heroine, a lady. They've got a lady's name.
Yeah. So, but I feel strongly now that, look, we did it to Al-Qaeda. We basically sent our drones in, and we attacked, and we did that. And now, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I see something like this, and I think it's a true, true tragedy when any American loses his or her life overseas. But at the same time, you know, they're coming out to us and say, we've got another American. If you don't back off, we're going to do that. You know, it's impossible. There is no way that we are able to say, oh, okay, we'll back off and we won't strategically bomb some of your locations if you're going to kill another American. You can't do it.
I said something when we talked about it last week. I said something that a lot of people called me on Facebook. I said that if we go in and just totally destroy them, doesn't that make us like them? And I said it more hypothetically than as an actual feeling that I had. I was just putting it out there for discussion. But after seeing this video that they posted.
You watched it?
Saw it described, and
I didn't watch it.
I had no desire
to watch it.
But after reading about it,
you know, I think that the first go round when they took people like Daniel Pearl, and they had a young some soldiers that were over there, and they did this just to to even get our head around that this could possibly happen. People probably saw some of these videos. I would think that the vast majority of Americans now would have no interest in looking at that and no interest in seeing that. And the fact is that I just think this is war now, war more than it's ever been.
I agree.
War more than was justified when we went into Iraq in the first place. And the fact is that these people, you know, you're talking about one American getting beheaded. Research the atrocities that this group of militants has committed since they started in Syria and then went into Iraq.
There's a side of this that nobody ever wants to effing talk about. And look, this isn't okay. It never was okay. It wasn't okay when they were doing it to their own people. It wasn't okay clearly now that they're doing it to Americans.
Right.
But these reporters that get in there, like James Foley, while he didn't deserve, nobody deserves that type of death. The man had been kidnapped before in other conflicts and held captive. And when he came back, I just saw an interview with the Boston Globe that he did on video where he's talking about how the tactics you have to use with these captors and these terrorists. And he was almost cocky about it. You're going into a war zone.
I didn't see the interview that you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's been – okay, the first time you get kidnapped and you're held captive for 35 days or something like that, you probably – maybe that's not your thing, right? Maybe you don't – maybe you're like, I cheated death once.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And he was almost cocky talking about it, how the way that you have to talk to your captors.
But I also feel –
and then he goes back, and now this happens.
But the reason I think he's there is he so strongly believed in exposing the atrocities over there. I think he realized his risk.
That is
– he did realize his risk. He knew his risk. He knew what he was doing.
I'm not saying he's at fault. Everyone – I mean, that's some of the greatest journalism that's ever come to light has come from these conflicts.
Exactly.
People that have put their – lives on the line for this to happen. But
well, the fact, I think I know, and you tell me if I've got you right here. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying, you're not blaming him. This is not his fault in any stretch of the imagination. What he did know is he did acknowledge and realize the risks that he was taking.
You're putting your life at risk.
Mm-hmm. And the fact is that we cannot let this group that has really made their name on terror, on atrocities, on some of the most gruesome and horrific, inhumane treatment of their fellow men on this planet. That's how they've made their name. Yeah. And we cannot succumb to these people. We have to, I don't like to use the words like obliterate and eradicate. But I will tell you, I've never felt more strongly in my adult life about getting involved in a conflict and taking on people than these people. These are people, it doesn't matter whether you're American, whether you're German, whether you're Iraqi, whether you're Kurdish, whether you're Syrian. These people are saying it is our way of religious belief. It is our way of worshiping. If you do not worship the way we worship, we are going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And they do it in the most horrific way. And look, all I'm going on is the reporting that comes from over there that they have killed numerous people. There was a report of 700 people executed the other day.
That's believable.
Most of them by beheading. Mm-hmm. 700 people. Can you imagine that? There are children that have been beheaded by this organization. They go through and you see I've seen the video. I did see this video where they're driving along the highway, pulling up alongside a car. Yeah. In regular traffic, and they open up with semi-automatic weapons, and then they hunt down another guy, and he was an Iraqi soldier.
They're getting pushed back, though. That's why this is happening.
And I'm saying push them back.
It continues.
Push them back.
No boots on the ground, though. Love it or leave it.
I think we accomplished.
You should have stopped at boots on the ground.
First of all, I think if you put boots on the ground, strictly from a military standpoint, you're in a situation where you might feed fuel the fire and give them more opportunity to do damage to Americans. No, I think we improve our technology. We keep using our technology with drones and airstrikes. But this is just, I don't know. Am I the only affected by this?
I saw this.
2 weeks ago, I felt, last week
I'm
I felt strongly about this.
The way you are simply because, and it's cold hearted, man, but I still go back.
Well, it's your generation. Well, yeah, you'd be affected if they were knocking on your door.
Well, I have guys that come to the bunker every Tuesday that just got back from Afghanistan. A couple guys that have been hurt. And you see them sitting there, and they're still going through their rehab, and they're still going through whatever PTSD that they're going through, and they can't work. And you sit there, and you watch these guys that are younger than me, in better shape, braver than I'll ever be in my life, and you say, I'd never want this.
But let me ask you this. I understand that's the reason you don't want to see further involvement, and you're justifying not feeling stronger about that. I look at it as when you talk about going back to the Clinton administration when they had genocide in Rwanda, you're talking about genocide, you're talking about going into a town and summarily executing civilians. Why can't the people there fight them? Because they're not capable. Or what if you went? If you had people like this that are well armed, that are well funded, and they go into a situation where I'm talking about the innocents. I'm not talking about the Iraqi army throwing down their rooms, their arms, and turning tail, that we train and it sucks. And look, the Iraqi army has demonstrated they ran away from us, and they're running away from the terrorists too. The Kurds aren't. The Kurds are doing a nice job with our kind of backup. And I think that we have to do as much as we possibly can.
One reporter does not escalate what's happening there. It's been happening. The fact that he's American sucks, but it's been happening. And
what about the way they did it, though,
it'll continue to happen, people. When are we going to give up on that?
I didn't feel this way about just because the reporter was executed. I felt this way before that.
You did.
I said last week that these people need to be eradicated, that you've got to go in there and you've got to really, I don't care about the politics. And I wish we could throw the politics out of it and say, oh, well, if Obama had taken care of him in Syria, who gives a rat's ass?
I don't think about the politics. I just think about where we are now.
I don't think about the fact that, you get people like this taking over an entire country. Then they take over another country, you know, and eventually it gets to us. You got to stop it. What were you going to say, Rob?
I was going to say, I think that, you know, there is a valid point in that one more murder doesn't change what's happened in the past. But the way this was conducted and the way they put a video out and the way the video they expect to go viral, it is such a sensationalistic way and a horrible, horrific thing.
British accent, by the way, on the guy that murdered him. That's what I read. I did not see it, but a British accent on the executioner.
But I think it really does take it to the next level, because now they're using, in a way, they're using social media to say, hey, look at us. We're doing this. And that's a cockiness that it needs to be addressed, and they need to be blown away. And I agree with Mike. I feel more about it that I feel more that way this week than I did last.
What would you think, Oscar? And I know boots only. Everybody uses that generic term, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
With a full fledged. Well, let me take a break. We'll come back and just wrap this up a little bit. And you know, then I want to talk about how much I hate Jenna Bush. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, this is Marcus.
Is Grandma there?
No, Napoleon. She's helped me get ready for Omeracast. What do you need?
Can you just go get her for me?
I'm really busy right now, and you know I gotta get my show out every Monday.
Well, just tell her to come get me.
Why?
Because I don't feel good.
Well, have you talked to the school nurse?
No, she doesn't know anything.
What, too much cake and cookies?
Will you just come get me?
No, I've got clips to prepare for. I've got guests to line up.
Will you do me a favor then? Can you bring me my chapstick?
No, Napoleon.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Just borrow some from Katie Von Herman. I know she's got 5 sticks of them in her purse.
I'm not gonna use hers, you sicko. Ugh, idiot.
Subscribe to Omeracast on iTunes, Stitcher, or download it at MikeOmeraShow.com. All part of More Broadcasting.
And the Clio for best promo of the year on the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's my favorite. It remains my favorite.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. We want to tell you about Stamps.com. It's so quick. It's so convenient. It is so easy to use. It'll make your mailing and shipping a breeze. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. They even send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. It makes your life easier. Stamps.com also helps you choose the best class of mail to get your stuff delivered on time for the least amount of money. Now, see, that's a little thing that they throw in there that we don't talk about a lot, but it helps you pick the right one, because a lot of people just throw the postage on there willy-nilly without thinking about the cost effective.
So true.
And as Oscar always says, you've got to watch the pennies.
Hey, Mike, if you watch the pennies, yes, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Drop it in any mailbox or hand it to your mailman and you're done. Trust me, mailing and shipping has never been easier, and you'll never have to go to the post office again. We use Stamps.com, and you'll love it too. Act now for a 30-day free, no-risk trial and $110 bonus offer, including a free digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Just go to Stamps.com and click on the microphone and use our secret code. It's not all that secret, though.
Well, if you whisper it, it'll be more secretive. Maybe that's how I should have said.
TMOS. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. Stamps.com and TMOS, and we thank you.
Yes.
I have to say, there is a lot of me when we're having these discussions that says, you know what? I realize the Prime Directive that we're supposed to be light. We're supposed to keep it light. But unfortunately, when a member of the media overseas gets beheaded by these scumbags, I think we at least need to talk about it briefly. And so my apologies for people that come here for yucks and fun. We try to give you a little of that as well, but it just, God, it pisses me off. It really, really does. And there's something about this organization that absolutely makes me feel like we need to act, and we need to act with a tremendous amount of force.
So I think it's coming. I think there's a head of steam behind the way you feel, and I think more Americans are coming around to that, and I think you're going to see it. But I do agree with you that I hope it's strategic and that it is without, you know, the boots on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Oscar, can you loan your drone?
No, I hate...
You hate war.
I know. I hate the fact that we've already tried in that area, and we've been there for 10 effing years. 10 years, people. Nothing's going to change. These people aren't going to change. They're not going to change.
But there are people that are over there that are worse than anything you can ever imagine.
Yeah, and
imagine.
We should help with that. But I also think when people, and it's not just you, Mike.
Do you think they're
going to
take
place.
Over the whole country?
No,
eventually?
I don't. I think that they had... Because we hadn't stepped in, They made a little progress. They took that dam. They took Mosul. And now we stepped in. We got that town back. We got that city back. And now they're pissed. And now they're doing this. It's a reaction to when you get beat, when bullies get beat down, they either run away or they double down. The guys have doubled down.
No, they're doubling down. Yeah, and the fact is, and Oscar, I think, and this is cold to say this, but and I don't want to trivialize the death of this journalist, but the fact is that you see this, that tells me that we're winning.
Yes.
That tells me that they're getting desperate, more desperate than they ever could be. But these people are unscrupulous. And, my feeling is keep stepping on them. Keep stepping on them. They're turning, maybe the tide is turning. So
that's fair.
Our prayers go out to that family.
Yeah, absolutely.
God in heaven. I mean, really, to think of. And, you know, he was, you said he was cocky, Oscar, but he was cocky and
I think you have to be if that's what you're going to do. But again,
he was dedicated to getting people the information from the front lines, which you have to have so that we know what's going on in the world.
But if this goes for anybody, not just him, take away his attitude. I think you have to have that type of swagger to do that type of job.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But if you've been taken captive for 35 days and you got to talk your way out of the first conflict you've been captured in, you know what's possible. You know what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen. It still doesn't mean what happened to him was in any way the on any.
What do you think about this?
Scale?
That in the past this has happened with ISIS. It's not the first time they've taken a hostage, and it's happened with other governments, and they have
paid the ransom.
They have to pay the ransom. We don't because we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and the fact is that I'm not sure in this particular circumstance they would have even taken money for this guy. I think that they were trying to make a political statement, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucks for his family, and it, to me, they're saying, oh, you've got to back off now. Look what we did to an American journalist. And I'm like, put more bombers in the air.
Yeah.
Just the way I look at
another
it.
Another target.
I'm hawkish on this. He was a good journalist, and it's sad to see him go. Speaking of bad journalists, Jenna Bush.
Oh, she's still great, Mike, and really coming along.
You know, we talked about this years ago. The fact is that there have been articles about it as well, about the fact that, these daughters of presidents, where you've got Chelsea Clinton under contract, I think, with NBC, and you've got Jenna Bush, who not only under contract, but unfortunately they put her on camera a lot.
Yeah.
And
Amy Carter, she's still modeling, right?
It's the tale of two extremes of the ice bucket challenge.
Right.
You'll never, really, can you guess ever on your best day who Jenna Bush challenged to the ice bucket challenge?
Do you want to go to the tape? You want to hear the tape?
Oh, you have the tape. God bless you.
I have the tape of George W. Bush's Ice Bucket Challenge.
Okay.
And the thing is that I had forgotten.
Do you have her? Any of her?
I don't. I just have the challenge tape. I'm sorry, Mike.
Because she was so lousy.
The worst.
And Jenna's on the phone where she's vacationing with her family, and she's doing. Oh, God, it made me sick. He was actually, if you just play the Ice Bucket Challenge, how about tomorrow? Bring the whole thing with her interview in there.
Okay, you got
Because he handles the Ice Bucket Challenge okay. He does
Although,
a fairly decent job with
but
it.
You know what, it was a nice sort of callback to when he had trouble finding words as president sometimes.
All right, and go ahead and play it.
Just
go ahead.
A little
I found the today video.
Oh, you did.
Would it set it up? Would it set it up for him to get to do what he does?
Yes, set it up. Let's just listen to Jenna Bush. I want to hear Jenna Bush.
Let's see if this actually works this time. But again, is she calling in? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, she's
calling in, and she's there's video of her, and then there's her on the phone talking about the ice bucket challenge.
All right, let me pull this up here.
All right.
I apologize.
And she, it's just, she calls Rory McIlroy, Roy McIlroy, and it's just, it's horrible.
And happy birthday, Al Roker, Mike.
Yeah, right. You had to mention that. Thank you very much. It's just
I hate him.
It's like, to me, she is the child of privilege taking away the job from a more qualified journalist. So do we have that?
No,
you have
it. Well,
Rob, play your clip of
just a joke. I was just kidding.
We will have it tomorrow for perfect dissection, Mike. I promise you
that. Okay, and go ahead and play the actual ice bucket challenge from President.
I've been challenged by several Americans to. Bring awareness to the ALS campaign. To you all who've challenged me, I do not think it's presidential for me to be splashed with ice water, so I'm simply going to write you a check.
Okay, and here comes Laura.
Ow!
Laura Bush comes in.
That check is for me. I don't want to ruin my hairstyle.
announce my privilege to challenge my friend Bill Clinton. Okay. Yesterday was Bill's birthday, and my gift to Bill is a bucket of cold water.
Turn it off. And then, did you see the whole video or just what they showed on the Today Show? Because after that, George and Laura made love.
She got a little water on her, and she takes her top off. No, that's horrible. Hey, that's disgusting.
It looked like a Carl's Jr. ad.
Do you mind? But the fact is, she says, well, I know he didn't do it just because I did. He did it because that golfer, Roy McIlroy, and it's just like, yeah, Jenna, why sweat the details on anything? It just Jenna Bush is so bad on camera, and it just it frustrates me enormously.
I tell you what, Mike, tomorrow
that.
Not only will I bring in her clip from today, I'll also bring in some of her greatest hits of the past.
Yeah,
she is really almost inexcusable on that show. She is horrible.
And it's frustrating because there are, you know, people that go to school for this,
yeah,
really, and try really hard and do a really, really nice job and actually have great audition tapes and work in small markets around the country and deserve to get promoted to NBC. But no, it's not going to happen because you're the president's daughter.
That's the way it works. And you know what? It affords the Today Show. Keep in mind, the Today Show knows how bad she is, but they know that is their entree to the Bush presidency. That's why they keep her around.
That's one extreme. I'll talk about the best one that's out there because they are still doing it. The celebrities are still doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, and we'll talk about a phenomenal one, one that actually reinvigorated the entire bit to me when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. And my lack of education hasn't hurt. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You need life insurance. There's no two ways about it. You owe it to yourself and your family. But why haven't you bought it yet? Why?
Why?
Why? Why? Why?
Why?
Why?
Why?
Why?
Why?
Why? Why?
I'm smart.
No more excuses. Today's the day, and luckily Encore can make it easy and economical for you. Encore surveys the most highly rated companies in the insurance industry to compare premiums. It's the fastest and easiest way to get the life insurance you need. Encore does the work so you don't have to. No obligation, no salesman, and it's free. Just call toll-free 866-347-5748 to get a free life insurance quote or visit smartterm.com. That's smartterm.com. That's where you'll find the license, disclaimer, and quality customer service. Encore Insurance Services, LLC. Check them out as a favor to us, but mostly for yourself. And please do it today, people. Okay, we talked about how burned out a lot of people are on the Ice Bucket Challenge. And
right.
The Jenna Bush one was just, I challenged my daddy. Nah. My daddy, the president, because NBC hired me. And so that one was, and then Laura Bush, I'm having him write a check so I do not have to get my hair wet. Okay, thank you.
Hair.
That was the sucky end of the spectrum. The other end, Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl did the greatest Ice Bucket Challenge video that I have seen today. In fact, I don't think there's anything that even comes close to it. And I hope now, look, it's still raising money for a good cause, ALS research. And if they're going to do it like this and they're going to be creative, I think it's pretty cool. But I don't think anybody's going to be able to top it. Dave Grohl did the Carrie, the scene from Carrie where they dumped the pig's blood on her head, and Dave Grohl did that with water.
It looked like a major motion picture.
It had production values,
and he was hysterical. He's in the prom dress, he's got the beard, and the water gets dumped on him. Absolutely hysterically funny. It really was great.
Do you want to hear some of the audio from it? I don't know that it carries his audio.
It might
only
not carry, but let's hear some of it and see what it sounded like. You know, it was funny.
Hello, my name's Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. I'm accepting Zach Brown's ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and furthermore, am challenging Jack Black, John Travolta, and Stephen King. You have 24 hours.
So he puts on a tiara.
Yeah.
He's in a prom dress.
But they do the old Carrie, which is great. The old Carrie. And then they just have the whole scene where the bucket's up.
And they actually intercut real pieces of the movie Carrie in.
Absolutely hysterically funny, and he deserves a lot of credit for
that. Did you see Bill Gates?
The Bill Gates was when he pulled the thing down on himself.
Yeah,
right?
But he built it first, which was great.
Did he build it?
Yeah, he built it. He absolutely built like an erector, like almost. He said, well, I'd like to do the Ice Bucket Challenge, but I want to do it the right way. And he sketches out something that looks like basically an erector set.
That's fantastic.
And then he has it built with like a pro. It shows guys building it and him helping. And once he builds it, he just pulls a little line and the bucket comes over.
And is it true that he used distilled water to make the ice?
I don't know. But the production value for that was, the production value for that one was great. And then Ben Affleck's was probably my favorite overall simply because He's in his backyard. You hear his kids in the background.
Right.
And Jennifer Garner. Pours the
Garner.
Ice. Garner.
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 That's it.
Garner. G-A-R-N-E-R.
I thought it was Gardner.
No.
There's no D there.
That would be your family.
All these years.
It's yeah, Garner, like James Garner.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Or it's Garnering exactly the same praise.
Way. James Gardner?
No. It's James Garner.
Oh, I thought it was a Gardner, too.
Can Jesus. We get a damn it?
Damn it.
That was feeble.
So,
that was feeble. That really was.
So, well, I'm just kind of beat up right now. Ben Affleck. What you don't see, Mike, is that the guy.
I know. You were frustrated because you couldn't play your clip. I know. And I saw you get up and you went over to the computer portal to make sure.
You know why, Mike? Because nobody checks anything in here. Nobody
I know.
Does. Nobody
hey, go
does.
Ahead. Go ahead. Get it off your there chest. You if you want to vent, go ahead.
So we're having problems with the audio on the computer. Just little yes. problems, right? And right. all I hear is like, I don't know. I said, so they say, we have a solution. I said, okay, just switch out the machines, but make sure that my machine that we play clips from is good to go. And so they said, okay, we hooked it up. And I start trying to play something and nothing comes through. And I look
very
at
very frustrated.
I look at our guy. I said, did you guys test it after you switched it? Well, I hooked it up the same way. I said, that's not the question I'm asking. Did you test it after we fixed it?
That's right. And it kind of falls into the you know, you've been harping on this for some time now about, and it's a
very. Details, look, no, people.
Details. Know I back you up. I would say this to you, though, and this is something that I love about our new incarnation here. Would it,
yes.
And how about this? Me being the positive guy today. How about this? Would you not agree, Oscar Santana, would you not agree that compared to our broadcast life before this,
true, very
the
true.
Engineering issues here, if they are not fixed immediately, they are fixed within 24 hours.
Yes.
If we have any glitches, we fix them, and we fix them right away, and we don't have to go down to an engineer's office and deal with an engineer that lives in a different town and doesn't want to come over and fix our problems. Rob, I mean, that's true. That's
true.
The world we used to live in broadcast radio. Now it's great.
What is wearing thin with me is because we have such a high bar.
Yes, we do.
It takes one more step to make sure everything's okay. And
right.
for some reason, it's hard to take that step.
This is true.
It's
this
hard
is true.
To take that one little step,
tiny.
Little itty bitty step.
It's really a question of follow-up. It's a question of redundancy. It's the same thing, really. Look, in our business, we get away on almost a daily basis with, we didn't get to it. Sorry about that. Anyway,
right.
If you're flying a Boeing 777, you know, the guys that build those planes don't have that luxury. They've got to sweat those details. They've got to have redundancy. And, you know, we're broadcasters.
What sets us apart, though, is that we, I would say 95%, it used to be 99, now we're at 95. 95% of the time, we get that right.
That's right. And it's
still we're coming off something where the equipment that we have put into this podcast and the investment we've made into this podcast, we have limited resources. There's no doubt about that. But
right.
we have taken the resources we do have, and I think considering the resources we have, we do a great job with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? At the same time, it can always be better, and the bar is raised higher on this show.
Just wanted to play Jenna Bush for you, man. Just wanted to play Jenna Bush for
you. I know, and I'm saying to all the guys there that, you know, you guys know who you are. We need to sweat the details a little bit more, and we need to test a little bit more. We need to back things up. And just because one job is done doesn't mean you sit on your hands and just say, hey, aren't we fantastic? I think we've all improved. We have all trained ourselves in one way or another to be broadcast engineers. We really have. We are all able to put things together in a studio. We all are able to do these things, and it's really terrific, but we're all homegrown.
Yeah.
Nobody trained us on how to do this. So we do it ourselves. So I'm happy with the way it works.
I'm most pleased with the fact that you think the show is a 777. I always sort of thought we were the Spirit of St. Louis.
Like when I was on, I'll never forget the airline. I'm a little kid. I'm 13 years old, and I'm flying with my parents from New York to Hartford, Connecticut. And we get on the airline. Would you like to know the name of the airline?
Yes.
Please.
You can look it up on a computer. This airline actually existed. It was called Pilgrim Airlines.
Oh, no.
It was called Pilgrim Airlines. And this is the long history of me and being a phobic flyer and what contributed to me being freaked out. And we're getting on the airplane, which looks seriously. like maybe it was a few generations removed
sure.
from Spirit of St. Louis, but I was scared.
Were there props and on it or was it a jet?
There were props okay. on it, and it was at
Give
night.
It its props.
And we're walking up the little gangplank that they sure. pull down from the airplane, and one of these businessmen, like in a tie with a briefcase, says to the pilot, "Who's going to wind the rubber band?"
Oh, no.
And I remember this exchange because the pilot gave him the stink eye like you would not believe. And then I get up, and I'm really, my heart's beating, and I'm like, "Mom." And my mom and dad are like in the back of the plane. I'm in the middle of the plane, and I look up, and we're getting ready to taxi, and the pilot takes out a plastic flashlight. To look at his gauges.
Oh, no.
That is what he is looking at his gauges with, a plastic. But they did not even have an overhead light in the cabin, and the cabin door stayed open for the entire flight. It stayed open for the entire flight to Bradley International Airport. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Nearly that good was our first experience, Michael, in Frontier Air, where mm-hmm. they thought it was appropriate to have a certain section of seats that faced the rear.
So I liked that.
Except for takeoff.
But you and I faced the rear, and it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Well, to look at the people that were facing us, it was kind of like being at a train.
Different
animal. And that you felt the seatbelt pull on you as the plane got speed, and then
pull
Rob,
on me, it almost cut me in half.
And that's when Rob like moved up to the front of the plane and drank like 750 bourbons.
Yeah, and you were keeping up for me, you were keeping up me 1-2. You were almost with me.
Yeah, that was one of the first real all time drunks I ever saw you get on a plane.
Yeah, I might have removed things from the plane that night. Like stolen things. I don't know. It's all sort of foggy.
Why would you steal from a plane?
Anything you get your hands on. Bolted down.
I've done it. You just steal. You know, you're drunk and you steal.
You take things.
Yeah. What do you steal, though?
I know I stole.
Stole wine one time.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Well, they gave it to me. Maybe they gave it to me. Maybe I didn't steal.
Oh, they recognized you?
No, they didn't recognize me, but I used to be so jovial on plane flights. Rob remembers this.
Yes.
The flight attendants would really fall in love with me sometimes.
The joviality would often begin 2 hours before the flight.
Yeah, and then I would be during the flight, and hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, up until landing, I was happy drunk Mike. And then, the meltdown would occur after we got picked up at the airport, you know.
Yeah.
So, as you know, that's when the shift would occur from happy drunk to belligerent drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And belligerent drunk would be the guy that would check in at the hotel. You know?
Yeah. A lot of times belligerent drunk comes when the blood alcohol content starts its decline.
Yes.
So if he gets up to, say, a 0.12, and that's solid, and then, you know, he's happy and everybody's his buddy, and then you take the car ride to the hotel, when you get to 0.10,
and the person behind the counter would hear something along the lines of, "What do you mean the room's not going to be ready on time?"
I had this thought when...
You guys have seen it. You travel. You know I get ragged out.
When you drink so
out.
Much, and I've done this in the past, mm-hmm. not as of, I would imagine, the last 3 or 4 years, but I used to go to Vegas, right?
Sure.
I used to get hammered on the way to Vegas, get to Vegas, be so hammered that I barely enjoy the evening because I was just tired.
Right.
And then I'd sit there looking back at that. Why would I could drink here and do that. Like, mm-hmm. I should just stay sober, and I get there, and then I can enjoy the evening there.
Well, I'm
right?
not trying to make an excuse, but I would drink because of the fear of flying.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like the process. So the flight, to me, if I got that loaded going on a plane, that would mean that I would fly across the country with no fear whatsoever and really not even be aware of anything going on the plane. So I was happy about that. But it would tank me for when I got out there. You know, it was not fun. Not
and it was
fun
different
all.
For me because you were drinking to avoid the flight. I would drink because I have a death wish.
Yeah, because you weren't all that you weren't all that phobic a flyer, right?
I used to get tense at the very beginning because I think when I started working with you, I had only flown like 3 times,
right?
And it was all still very foreign and very weird to me. Now it doesn't mean anything to me, but
I've told this story.
It was weird, yeah.
I've told this story before. I'll tell it again though because I don't know the last time I talked about it. After my very first divorce. I was in a very, very bad state of mind, and it was just not going really well. And I decided, what better way to feel good than to take a buddy and my buddy Sean Murphy and head out to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh,
But I decided let's do it on a budget beater schedule here. Let's do it on a nice budget fee. And I took Midway Airlines.
Midway, another great, no Midway longer Airlines functioning airline
that connects in Chicago at Midway Airport and then takes the great Chicago glitterati out to Las Vegas, Nevada. And I will tell you something. That was the most decrepit, degenerate group of people that we picked up in Chicago.
I bet.
You saw them coming on board, and these were the hardcores, boy. They were really hardcore gamblers. We didn't have them when we got on the plane at National because some of these people were going to Chicago.
Of course.
There were only a few select degenerates like me connecting in Chicago going out to Las Vegas.
So when you were leaving, I'm guessing at this for this flight, you probably left out of National. Did you see Captains of Industry?
Oh, no. Yeah, this is, let me see. If I'm looking back on the flight schedule and also the fees for that, I believe the fare for the flight to Chicago and then on to Las Vegas was, oh, that's right, 11 cents.
Oh, okay.
So it was, it was a budget beater. And we get, and of course, we're doing a little imbibing on the way out there.
Sure.
It's a nighttime flight. And I remember there was some snow in Midway, too. So it was a bit of a tricky landing. And I was continuing
and
to.
Mike, and beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Because the snow makes it beautiful.
Pretty snow. And we're landing. And because they had mentioned weather during the flight, I continued to imbibe. And then once we took off from Midway again, I felt the urge to go potty.
Sure.
Big time. I had to go. Not big potty, but number one.
Was it the first number one of the trip?
It may have been. I do have a camel bladder, so it might have been.
Yeah, because that's when you call when you break the seal, which is a different use of break the seal.
Yes.
The first one, you can normally hold off a long time, but after your first visit, they come more frequently. So
This was nasty, and the restroom, we were in the middle of the plane again. That's where I always fly.
Sure.
Except for the go-go days.
Oh, this sort of predates that, doesn't it?
No, sorry, you would fly first class across the country.
Oh, yeah. We had a contract.
Oh,
that was in our contract.
God, that
was
huge.
In our old contract.
A lot of times he'd do it just to go, just to be up the front of the plane. He'd fly to Los Angeles and fly home.
Wow.
Can't imagine why they fired us. Anyway, we're in the middle of the plane, and I get up with my buddy Sean. We both get up at the same time, so we have to pee like there is no tomorrow. We go to the back, and of course, it's the degenerate parade of a line at the bathroom. There are two people in front of us. So it goes one, two, my buddy Sean, and then me.
Right.
And we're all waiting. And I can hold it. About this time, the flight attendants, two of them are back there. They've got the little beverage cart getting ready to do flight service back there. So it's a bit of a show. It's a bit of a crowd scene in the back of this plane. I look up front, and there's a guy coming down. He's got one of his shirt tails is hanging out.
Oh,
he
appears
to have like a 3-day growth of beard, and he looks ashen. He looks truly, truly gray.
Right.
Like maybe he's been on a bender for a while, or perhaps he ate something to disagree with him.
He came on in Midway. He was at the Chicago airport.
He hopped on in Midway, and he walks by, and the only thing I hear this guy say as he's walking by, he says, "Sick."
Oh,
he walks by me, he walks by Sean, he walks by the other lady that's in front of him, goes to the back in the middle where they have that little plastic floor back there, the little rubberized floor, and he spills vomit all over the back of the plane.
No.
All over the back of the plane.
Oscar, that is not okay.
That is not okay, and that stinks.
He just goes, back and he's like, "Sick," and I'm like, "You better let this say, Sean, let this guy through. Right there before he even gets to the restroom. And I went, life is good. Life has never been better. It's also the same trip that I went to Vegas and stayed at a crap table for 74 consecutive rolls.
Wow.
At a crap table. If I'd known in those days how to gamble, and I never really knew how to gamble at a crap table.
It's tough.
I apparently could have made a tremendous amount of money, but I didn't. And then what I didn't realize that you don't also do at a crap table is when you've rolled for 74 times and you haven't crapped out.
Yeah.
You don't just go, "I'm tired of doing this. I'm not going to do it." Because the whole table went, "No! No! You're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to stay until you crap out. That's the way it's supposed to go."
I understand. It craps is crazy. I've tried to understand it. And I understand the rudiments of it. But there's so much going on that even if I had rolled 74 winners in a row, they could have taken my money and I'd just say, "Well, I guess I blew it."
Oh, it's tough.
It's very tough.
You had a hot
hand.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gambling, we will never gamble with the technical aspects of this program.
Well, okay?
Too late. We
to
lost.
Make it full circle, I just had a nice little bow there. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, here's one for Oscar.
Do you talk C++?
Do I?
Can you telnet into port 25 and fake an email?
Can I?
Do you like to surf the backplane of a router?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever hex-edited your way to a registered version?
Sounds sexy.
We're not going to be talking about any of those things, but what will we be talking about, Oscar?
It's technology and the way it affects your life.
And we're going to be combining a lot of entertainment.
Boo!
It's going to be a good time. This is not your father's
Boo!
Tech show.
Tech 411 show, available on the More Broadcasting Network and
so
on
sad.
iTunes.
That means it's good, so please check it out.
Today. We're recording tonight.
Oh, that'll be great. Can we stream it live?
Hopefully. Well, I'll ask Pony. I'll ask Pony.
Hey, Oscar.
Sure can.
Hey Todd, what are you doing here? Hey,
anyway,
what will we be talking about, Oscar?
It's going to be a fun show today.
This portion of the Michael Mary Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. So we've been goofing around for a few weeks about our Amazon page, and that's fine. But we need to remind you of one very important fact. Shopping through our Amazon portal remains the single best way to support this show. Remember, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it means the world to us. The next time you need to buy anything, just go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click on the Amazon
it's
icon.
Right there.
That's what I do.
It's right there.
Or you can click the Amazon button. It's right on our website. You can shop like you normally would. It's that simple. We need you to try just a little harder, folks. Be
Please.
Like the listener who bought, are you ready for this? A 60-inch Vizio Smart TV, a 64-gig Microsoft Surface tablet,
wow.
The Nikon D3300 digital SLR and zoom lens.
Wow. Ah,
yeah.
The Dell Inspiron 15.6-inch laptop, the 48-inch 1080p Vizio television. Two TVs, people.
Like
you see, Amazon has everything. We just need you to get there through our portal. And yes, never fear, Amazon still sells tubas, Tang, brass knuckles, mayonnaise, and corrective shoes. If you need it, Amazon has it. Always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. The best way to save money and support this show. Bookmark Amazon at MikeOmaraShow.com. And rest easy, my friend.
What was that first item again?
What's that?
That you had in the copy, that first item?
60-inch Vizio Smart TV.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tang.
Nice.
And Tang. Astronauts drinking.
And corrective shoes. Thank you very much.
Across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need, a comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, News You May Not Need.
The estate of Anna Nicole Smith has failed in its final bid to obtain her late husband's money.
Oh.
Yeah, did you know this was still going on?
I didn't know this was still a thing.
7 years after her death, the Playboy model and reality TV star will not be getting the moolah. A federal judge in Orange County on Monday rejected the effort to obtain about $44 million from the estate of Texas billionaire J. Howard Marshall. She married him in 1994 when he was 89, and she was 26.
Hey, Mike, how do you like my body?
Like my body. Smith, under her real name of Vicky Lynn Marshall, challenged the will, claiming that her husband had promised to leave her more than $300 million above the cash and gifts showered on her during their 14-month marriage. A Houston jury said Marshall was mentally fit and under no undue pressure when he wrote the will. So I guess the estate is out of it. Her kid, I guess, they're trying to get the money for
yeah,
her
how
kid.
How old is the daughter like now?
I have no idea. 40.
Yeah,
no
oh, that's
idea.
Good.
40.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
On a lighter note, Tom Hanks launched a typewriter app for iPad last week, and like everything else that the man touches, it's proving to be entertaining, loved, and successful. Just 4 days after its release, the Hanks Writer has soared to the top of its respective chart on the iTunes App Store. Will you be talking about this on the 411?
Oh, yeah. You get a celebrity, you put an app that means nothing, and then they make millions and millions of dollars.
Tech 411, this is perfect for them because they're at the intersection of entertainment and technology.
That's right, Rob.
Yeah. It's perfect. But it's not all Tom's star power. The new typewriter app does precisely what one would expect of a typewriter app. Keys appear on the screen, and it has typewriter functions that really work. Aside from replicating the famous font, the app makes the sound of an old-school Underwood typewriter, which is, you know, for people that are into that type of thing, it's probably
cool. Very cool for about 6 seconds.
Well, he's really in a typewriter. He's just like a typewriter nut.
I used to have a lot of typewriters, and I sold them.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I had no space for them.
Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah,
I
know how he got his typewriters, too.
No, I didn't.
Did you collect
them? You stole them from radio stations.
No, I never did, because you know why? JFK had electric typewriters. I had no use for that.
Where'd you get them?
I just bought them at yard sales and stuff.
Yeah, because apparently the typewriter game, it's lucrative.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got out just in time. So I wouldn't make any money. I had an Underwood that had a 2-foot carriage on it, so you could put like huge pieces of paper in it.
Oh, wow.
And I sold it for like $5 at a yard sale.
Wow.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Hey, everybody. Jackie Chan's son, J.C. Chan, is in some hot water right now.
What's his name?
J.C. Chan. He's in some hot water right now.
Gee, Pop, can you help me?
I will try to help you today.
Thanks, Pop.
The 31-year-old actor tested positive for marijuana and was promptly arrested in Beijing. Uh-oh.
Oh,
I don't think they like
no.
it over there.
Yeah.
It's part of China's crackdown on celebrity drug offenders. JC, along with Taiwanese actor Kai Ko, were detained following a raid on Thursday, August 14th, in which police uncovered more than 100 grams of marijuana in Chan's apartment. We will go to your apartment to smoke weed, okay?
Don't you know, J.C. Chan, this is illegal? You may not smoke this.
You guys are dicks.
CNN reports that J.C. is also accused of hosting others to take drugs.
G-pop!
He could face up to 3 years in jail. The China Daily, via CNN, adds that recently there have been 7,000 arrests in Beijing for drug use, which is 72% up from last year. So they're trying to get people to stop taking
drugs. I will go down to the convenience store and buy rolling papers, okay?
I have to come back to the apartment. I notice the proper authorities are standing in the hallway waiting to arrest us. Anyway, the children, family, and friends of broadcast legend Casey Kasem, yes, this story does not die like Casey did. They have not backed down in their ongoing struggle with his wife, Jean Kasem. In a letter signed by 20 of his closest friends and family members, the country of Norway was formally asked to deny Jean's request to have her husband buried there. She is the official wing nut of this story.
I'll tell you who is really upset about this, Mike, and that's Wink Martindale. I've been following his coverage of this on Facebook, and
really?
He says that Casey wanted to be buried at Forest Lawn, and I have no reason to think that Wink would lie.
Well, here's a quote from the letter. As beautiful as your country is, our father has never spoken of any desire to be buried in Norway, either to us or to his friends, they wrote in the letter. In fact, it was the opposite. Casey wanted to be buried in his hometown of Los Angeles, California, his home of over 53 years. The letter goes on to allege that Jean Kasem fabricated her own Norwegian heritage.
What?
If this is true, this is a bad woman. This is a very evil woman. She did it with her nephew, Herbert Tommy Thompson. No, her nephew actually cops to her being full of crap. He says, as far as we know, we're English, German, and Native American. We've never even heard of anyone speaking Norwegian.
You can trust anyone who uses the middle name Tommy in quotation marks.
Right. Tommy Thompson.
Herbert Tommy Thompson.
We don't have an ounce of Norwegian blood to our knowledge. So she's just, I think, trying to punish the family, I guess.
And what's
right?
her end game? I mean, what's the benefit to having him buried in a place where neither of them are from?
It's just sad. It's
control.
Sad for Casey.
It just, she wants, it's all, you know what it is? It's sick because His current wife, it just wants so much more attention. She's almost dragging this out because she can't lose that fame and that attention.
That's right.
Sad.
Right?
Very, very sad. And sad for him.
Oh,
and
it
sucks.
Man, it sucks.
Give it up, lady. The NFL doesn't pay musical acts to perform on the Super Bowl halftime show, and now they're reportedly trying to get musicians to pay them for the privilege of taking the stage. Way to go, NFL!
Wow, they're charming, aren't they charming?
Wow.
The Wall Street Journal says the league has narrowed their wish list for this year's game down to three acts, Rihanna, Katy Perry, and Coldplay. According to sources, league reps have been checking around to see if anyone would pay to play. God love the NFL.
Mm.
More great PR for them. Naturally, the people they've talked to have not been super receptive to it. It's also hard to believe the NFL is apparently ignoring the people who obviously want to see a Weird Al Yankovic show.
That's right. There's a huge petition.
Well, he's back,
as of
baby.
Last night, the petition to see Weird Al perform was up to 126,000 supporters. No!
Mike,
please, God, no!
I bet you $25 Weird Al would do a better show than Coldplay.
Yeah, here's the way the NFL sucks, though. They said regarding asking people to play, a spokeswoman merely said their contracts with performers were confidential. Don't they suck?
They totally suck. They sell downloads, so it might be worth it.
You shouldn't have to defend them.
Might be worth it. Hey man, if we had the shekels, I'd love to do the podcast at halftime.
That'd be a 17-minute episode?
Yeah, just a quick hitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Pepsi Mike O'Mara podcast.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears.
I'll take it. Yeah. Don't you hate guys who drive around in ridiculously expensive cars, then freak out when people get too close to
Matt
them?
Bloom.
How about Jerry Seinfeld?
Seinfeld, he's got 100 cars.
Who are these people? Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry took his 1973 Porsche 911 RSR out for a spin in the Hamptons, and only 49 were ever made. They still sell for close to $500,000. Jerry had a fit when he saw a woman trying to park in front of his car and almost hit it. Not hitting it, but almost hitting it. He reportedly ran at her from across the street and started yelling at her. He's a douchebag.
He is an absolute
douchebag.
Yeah,
he can't really be
that much of a dick. Come on.
Yeah, he could afford to get it fixed if it happened.
I remember when he was talking about the audience being a child. I never liked him after that. The woman was so rattled, she just left to find another spot. Unfortunately, there's no video, but a photographer got some pictures. I was looking at the pictures. It does look like Jerry's yelling at her.
Speaking of Porsche, have you seen the new 918 Spyder from Porsche?
No.
They have this great bit on PorscheUSA.com where you can build the 918 Spyder like you would any other car you'd like to buy.
Right.
And as I built mine, the starting price is at $849,000.
Wow.
It looks like, but I said, oh my God, that car you can build, it's got to be cheap. It's got to be maybe $30,000-$40,000, right?
You know, Harry's.com, re-up for us, so I think you're almost there.
Yeah, but again, the fact that they're letting you build these cars now online, I don't know if that speaks to the way that these billionaires are buying, but I thought those are the type of cars you walk into the dealership, you special order, and then you walk out.
This is just a more expensive version of the typewriter app. These are a bunch of idiots messing around on their smartphone.
But here's the thing. Here's the good news, that when Oscar finishes building his 918 Spyder, he'll be able to wash and wax it with his tears. 25-year-old Melissa Barton of Troy, Illinois. Here's your something-something. Yeah. She'd been raising money this year because she's had cancer and her young son has leukemia. At least that's what she's been telling people at her church and online.
Oh, you're kidding.
But apparently neither of them has cancer.
Oh, no.
The whole thing is a scam. It was a pretty good one, too. She raised up to $10,000 from donations, and she was scheduled to be on Dr. Phil to tell her story. Here's the good part. She was arrested for felony theft by deception about 2 weeks ago. She denied everything and got out. The cops kept investigating, found even more victims she'd scammed, and issued a warrant for her arrest. They finally arrested her again at the airport on Wednesday, and the cops believe that she was on her way to the Dr. Phil taping.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't understand how people can do this. Like, that's the type of sociopath that how can you take a check from someone? And most of these people that give, and you know this, Mike, they don't have the money to give.
That's right.
No, the vast majority of charities are funded by people that are doing it, and it's painful to do it for them. It's not just rich. People think it's always just super rich people. It's not.
It's guys like us that are just trying to pay our bills every month.
Special place in hell for this lady.
I think they should have let her go on, Dr. Phil. You were lying, weren't you? You didn't have cancer, did you? Your son's healthy, isn't he? Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
You're a bitch, aren't you? Yeah, you're going to rot in hell, aren't you? Yes, sirree. Worms are going to eat your body, aren't they?
Yes, Dr. Phil.
Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. But
I can't make them stay. Cake and cookies.
Your OCD is nothing to be ashamed of.
It's also the depression. There's just a stigma that goes with it.
I don't think so anymore.
Okay, well then I'll wear my freak flag, fly it hot, high.
Yeah, don't be ashamed of your OCD. Be ashamed of the way you talk.
It's the Rob and Katie Show. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
That show sounded like a cocktail cruise. That truly did.
Yeah, sometimes we have a couple drinks.
There you go. Welcome back to the show. The Rob's Audio Vault brought to you by Open Mic. Kind of reminder, our book Open Mic is still available, still great. We still love you taking pictures around the country and the world with copies of Open Mic. It's the story of the show and how we was kicked to the curb and then pulled ourselves up. You'll like this. Just go to Amazon.com to get it. It's available in paperback or for your Kindle at Amazon.com. And it's the perfect book if you love TMOS. Open Mic is available at Amazon in paperback and for your Kindle. Please buy one of each, people. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Wednesday, August 20, 2014. Rob Spiewak.
Based on the slime you ended the news with, the lady that pretended her son had cancer, I'd like to start the audio vault with something a little more heartwarming. Both of my kids have been signed up for sports this week. Julia's starting volleyball practice, and Robert's getting into the basketball again. And this Little League coach at the Little League World Series spoke to his team after they lost. He was the coach of the Rhode Island team. They lost to Chicago 8-7.
I am so glad you are. This is why Rob and I have one brain sometimes, because the fact is that I saw this and I forgot to bring that to the table today. And Rob, this is every Little League coach should watch this. This is exactly what it should be. This is
truly
terrific speech.
Truly amazing. His name is David Belisle.
Everybody, heads up high.
The kids are crying.
Yeah,
the kids are crying.
Well, you know, they've lost. They've gone to the World Series and they lost by one run.
They're 11 to 13 year olds.
Yeah, good kids.
Everybody, heads up high. Heads up high. There's no disappointment, okay, in your effort, okay, in the whole tournament, the whole season. It's been an incredible journey. The only reason why, okay, I'll probably end up shedding a tear is because this is the last time I'm going to end up coaching you guys. But I'm going to bring back with me, and the coaching staff are going to bring back with me, and you guys are going to bring back something, okay, that no other team can provide but you guys. That's pride. Okay, it's okay to cry because we're not going to play baseball together anymore. But we're going to be friends forever, okay? Friends forever. And our Little League careers have ended on the most positive note that could ever be. I want everyone to come in here for one big hug, okay? One big hug. Then we're gonna go celebrate. I'm gonna love you forever. You've given me the most precious moment, okay, of my athletic and coaching career. So for the last time, we're gonna try to suck it up and we're gonna yell Americans, okay? 1, 2, 3, Americans! Okay, boys, good job.
I love that.
Oh, my God. If you watch the whole thing, go see it on YouTube. It was absolutely
class
terrific.
Act.
There's no
really
in baseball.
Yeah, there is when you're an 11 to 13-year-old. They all cry. Yeah. I'm going to watch the young girl pitch tonight, I think, or this afternoon. I'm not sure when that game's on.
But have you heard what she's doing, her bit?
What?
What's her bit?
This is her bit.
This is, and I don't know where I heard this. I might have heard this last night. Just a brief throwaway where this young lady, and I looked it up this morning, is so, like, she's a phenom pitcher, right?
Right.
That she was caught on camera telling her little girlfriends to sign autographs for her because she just didn't want to sign autographs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that little diva syndrome.
Oh, no. She's believing her own press.
Yes.
Oh, that's bad. I'm sorry.
I'd like to see her shed a tear.
Okay. I'll root for the other team then.
Attaboy.
Go kick your ass, boys. Go to it. Absolutely.
You know who signs all his own autographs, Mike, is Gary Busey, who right now is appearing on the popular television show Big Brother in the United Kingdom. Turns out, listen to what he's saying and the way he says it. He sounds sane, but what he's saying is that he was visited by the ghost of Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, God bless him.
He came through me the other day when I was sitting on a bench above the ocean. Patrick Swayze's spirit, and I saw it. He came right through me, and my dad, who died August 1st, 1975, came right through me. Well, I've been to the other side after my death, after brain surgery.
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't need
that. So I got a connection with that spiritual world.
Is it a good connection?
You have it, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, but now you're aware. Is it a good connection or a bad
connection? It's a divine connection. Nothing's bad unless you want it to be. You got to take it the way it is, buddy, or you don't get it.
That's right, Mike, buddy. You got to take it,
all right,
buddy.
Trying. Can somebody help me with the pronunciation of the name? It's M-O-apostrophe-N-E. Is it Moni Davis? Is it Moni Davis?
She's Moni.
She's Moni. Will someone call John Allville, please, and find out what the correct pronunciation is?
Mac's got it.
Oh, okay, Mac?
It's Monet.
Monet. Okay, Monet.
Worth coming in today, wasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our intern, Mac.
Okay, real quick, Mike, the Emmys are this Monday, and they've gotten kids to be to reenact scenes from popular television shows.
That's a win for Mac today. He's just
It is a win.
Away.
Yeah, it's a contribution to the show. Very vital.
He should walk out that door right now and be like, yeah!
Mike, here's the kids' version of Breaking Bad.
Hey, Jess, you want to cook crystal meth?
Sure, what could go wrong?
And we close. Also, do you realize
that the GOP, the Republican Party, one of their key places to do fundraisers is Disneyland?
Disney World has become a popular location for Republican fundraisers. Republicans like to have fundraisers. A favorite activity is to ride through It's a Small World and deport most of the dolls.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. This concludes our broadcast today, but dry your eyes. It's not goodbye, just so long. You can always write us a letter. Send it to TMOS, P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. You can email all technical queries like, where the F's that camera? To ponyboy at MikeOmeraShow.com. And if you'd like to be part of the legendarily popular Thursday mailbag segment, everybody loves it, especially you. Drop a line to the Jolly Wad. Rob at MikeOmeraShow.com. And a reminder, the official TMOS e-voice line remains 800-440-8167. Open all the time. No waiting.
America's funniest home videos.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Ernie Anderson. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, see you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, Jess, you want to cook crystal meth? Sure, what could go wrong?
Please remember to check out Encore Insurance Services, LLC. Since they compare the rates for you, they do all the work and all you have to do is save the money. Just visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. Again, that's 866-347-5748 or smartterm.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.